All right, everyone, settle down. It's Wednesday the 20th of March, and this is the Celtic Way with me, Hamish. We've got Tony and Ryan on as well. Guys, middle of the week, we're edging towards the return of Celtic, but it doesn't really feel like it because the international football hasn't really started yet, although I happen to have seen an image of a certain Japanese player we have, and he's looking a bit different. Have you seen this, guys?
I have, yes. I think Dyson Maeda has been at the hair dye. I don't know if he's.
I don't know if I'm legally allowed to put it on screen, but I don't really care.
he's going for a very new look, which fair enough. You know, it'll be easier to distinguish him now when he returns to play, because when you're at the games and you're watching him with hair, it's quite disconcerting. You're like, who is this guy with hair? You know, because you're usually seeing Maeda with a baldy, but. We'll be able to distinguish him quite well now.
Didn't he say he was doing it for his daughter? Because his daughter likes some kind of cartoon character, is that right?
It's because she's grown out of Anthony Man and she doesn't like the bald look.
Yeah, that's so, the reason. I read that, yeah. He's going blonde for some other.
He's at the mercy of his, what, 4 or 5 year old daughter here. But
I love that. I think that's
brilliant. Yeah, me too.
So if she gets older and older, is he going to have to go for, like, attractive sitcom characters and stuff like that? Is that how it works? Or?
I can't wait for the Charlie Nicholas mullet 80s phase. His doctor thinks, you know what, that would be good. But yeah, I thought that was brilliant. He was so honest about it as well, and just kind of said, yeah, I'm doing it for my daughter. And I thought, that's tremendous. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Don't know about you guys, but I've never been more certain that someone's going to score a hat-trick at Ibrox after seeing that photo. He just already looks like a better player, and I love Dyson Maeda, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on with the Japan national side. They've got a couple of qualifiers against North Korea, of all countries, including one in Pyongyang. So, yeah, an interesting...
Biggest football stadium in the world.
Is it?
That's the biggest, yep. It's home
to I bet they've got even worse figures than Celtic Park in terms of kidding on its full. I bet their crowds are like 300,000 for every match, when in reality there's only like 300 there.
Yeah,
I watched it in a documentary once. It's an incredible stadium. They do all sorts of shows over there. It's really is a state of the art thing. And I think all or most of the teams in the North Korean Football League actually play in that stadium as well. They all use that one stadium. So interesting, but it should be a good away day for Dyson Maeda to go to, I guess.
That was the reverse of the old Celtic Bowl, wasn't it, Hamish? There's like 90,000 and they were like 25, things like that.
Yeah. Do you think a tour of North Korea is in the cards one day? I mean, we're doing a lot of touring at the moment, aren't we? We'll be back to Asia at some stage, a North Korean tour perhaps.
Without going too political, I think it'd be a very much an on-rails sort of experience. I've watched enough documentaries to know what the sort of experience you get over there if you're a tourist. So, yeah, I think you'll see what they want you to see, basically.
Ryan's put my name forward for that one, Hamish.
You've missed out in the USA, but you've picked up North Korea. That's kind of how life goes. Right, we are going to talk a wee bit about the US trip because we've had more details with regards to that. Before then, just want to take a moment to thank our sponsors. At the top of the screen, MPH Boilers. They have recently become proud Celtic community partners. We are all Celtic fans listening, and you can... find out about MPH Boilers. They're bringing you a special home cover plan offer at the moment. It gives you comprehensive coverage for just 99 pence a month for 6 months. After the first 6 months, it goes up to £25 a month for the remaining 6 months, ensuring your home is always in top condition all year round. If you're interested, message MPH Boilers on Facebook and quote MPH Celtic or call MPH Boilers directly on 0800 779 7778, and again quote MPH Celtic. It's a fantastic way to support your home this year, and a big thanks to them for supporting the show and being a Celtic community partner. And they've got branding around the pitch as well that you can look out for the next time you're watching a Celtic match. Just on our offer as well, do one of you want to take it away?
Yeah, I'll take it. So right now, if you didn't already know, and we've been talking about it since I think it's been Thursday afternoon, we are doing our best ever offer on the Celtic Way website, which is 6 months of access for just a single pound. If you pledge a pound, you'll also get a free Kyogo Furuhashi print from renowned football artist made by Frankie. That'll keep you covered up until September time. So if you are interested and you want 6 months of access for a pound, then please visit www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. As much as we appreciate all of your support on the YouTube channel, and we appreciate everybody subscribing and getting involved in the comments, this is the best way to support us, is by subscribing to the channel or subscribing to the website. £1 for 6 months at www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe.
Excellent. With regards to the US trip that is coming up, we've touched on this every day. I promise you this will be the final day we chat about it. I'm very aware that people only really care about what's directly in front of them, and rightly so. This is a wee bit away next season, of course. But we have found out our other two opponents for this tour. So we're going to start with a game against DC United, obviously MLS side, on Saturday the 20th of July. The following Tuesday, which is the 23rd, we'll take on only the best team in the world, guys. Manchester City, Chapel Hill in North Carolina. And then, as we already knew, we finish against Chelsea in Indiana that following Saturday. So Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, DC United, Man City, Chelsea. It's pretty glamorous, guys. Big stadia we'll be visiting as well. How does the thought of Erling Haaland going up against our defence make you feel, guys?
Wonderful. Celtic Way in the US of A. Bring it on. That's all I can say. You know what I mean?
You're going to say this every single day for the next 6 months.
Only if you mention it. I've never brought it up. You brought it up. Road trip, Ryan. Stagger salad. Come on, let's do it. I think we spoke about it yesterday. The glamour opposition that Celtic face in these pre-season friendlies is astounding, isn't it? You know, there's a big pool wherever they go, and it's I think it's wonderful that they are making friends around the world, aren't they? And as you said there, where's next? Asia, somewhere like that. You were talking about South Korea the other day. So I just think it's great that Celtic can visit all these places and, as I say, take the good gospel of Celtic all over the world, and they seem to be very much in demand to play and to go to places, don't they? So, and also don't forget, there's the financial spin-offs from it as well. That's why they do it too. So, I think it's a cracking tour. It's quite exciting, isn't it? It's decent opposition as well, and I think if you get the chance to see these players like Erling Haaland up close and personal, then that's another great experience, isn't it? Don't know if we have a great experience for the Celtic defenders. We wait to see that one. There's been a couple of scuddings handing out in pre-season games, hasn't there, for Celtic? I remember one in particular in America. They get Man U beat them, and then they beat Liverpool the other way around, wasn't it?
PSG a few years ago battered us, didn't they? Remember that?
Yeah, you know, so you just hope it's not that kind of way inclined. But, you want to play the top teams, don't you? And there's a lot of interest in it. And I would imagine, Ryan, talking about the stadium there as well, though, I think the Notre Dame one holds, 77,600, something like that, you know? So it'll be interesting to see. That's the last game, isn't it? So it'll be interesting to see.
Middle game.
Turn up for that. Is that the middle game, right?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how many actually go to that. That could be well attended, we think.
Yeah. I mean, it's pre-season, Ryan, so the result doesn't matter. But it's an opportunity for the team to go up against top-class opposition, certainly in Man City's case, possibly in terms of Chelsea as well, although they're a bit hit or miss, and an opportunity for the fans as well, and the club will make a bit of money that we won't spend. So it's, everyone's a winner.
It's great preparation for the season, the forthcoming season that's coming ahead. Potentially it could be good preparation, and you've got to take this into account if Celtic don't win the league and they have to play qualifiers. What better way to get used to playing top level opposition than playing against Man City and Chelsea, as well as American opposition that will be midway through their season in DC United? You know, that can help as well. That'll mean it'll be a good quality tie, similar to the way the Yokohama F. Marinos game was. I know Celtic were on the end of a bit of a hiding towards the end of that game, but it was good preparation because they were a team that were smack bang in the middle of their season and they were up for it. And that can be good going forward because you get used to the tempo and the acclimatisation. In Chelsea's case, I'm not sure what manager will be turning out for them in the summer. There's been a lot of talk about Maurizio Pochettino potentially leaving at the end of the season, just down to financial fair play that he might... The reason why he might still be in his position at this moment in time. I know they could still probably win the FA Cup, but regardless, you know, they're a team that are going to be flinging money at it this summer. They'll be wanting to bleed in their new players, and it's a good test for Celtic. And then you talk about Man City, best team in the world with some of the best players to go along with it. Cameron Carter-Vickers has got big pockets. It's going to be an even bigger pocket when he puts Erling Haaland in there as well. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Just looking here, it's apparently the Man City game is part of the FC series, which I believe is a kind of follow-on from the Florida Cup. I'm guessing that's what the FC stands for, Florida Cup, even though it's not in Florida. And there's four matches I've got down here. They're all Man City against Celtic, AC Milan, Barcelona and Chelsea. So we're in pretty good company with regards, you know, to that. So yeah, looking forward to it. And Steve making a good point, as he always does in the chat, saying if the worst happens, we have to play two Champions League qualifiers in August. City and Chelsea games will certainly get us up to speed. I was looking at that earlier just to try and get in my mind, you know, where these matches in America, how they relate to the Champions League. So obviously, as you know, if we win the league, we're straight into the Champions League proper. If we don't win the league and finish second, we'll be into the third qualifying round of Champions League, and that'll be the first and second midweek of August. So there's 10 days between the Chelsea game, which is the last one in America, and that qualifier. So there is time.
I would assume that's why they've taken it on, Hamish.
Yeah.
For that.
And they'll know. I mean, they'll know that
if it happens, you know, that they finish second in the.
And if not, it's still good matches to get us up to speed.
Of course it is. Yeah, so there's a double-edged sword with it, isn't there? But I think that it was clearly conscious planning with that one. You know, so happy to do it all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good. Lots to look forward to. Will we be champions at that stage? That's what we're going to find out over the next couple of months. How are you feeling, guys? He's looking forward to watching our players turn out for their international teams. Have you got anyone in mind you want to see play, Ryan?
Looking forward to seeing Blonde Maeda when he plays his first game for Japan, see how that works, see if he scores a hat-trick. I'll be wanting him to keep it for the foreseeable future. Although he did score a hat-trick when he was growing out his hair a couple of weeks ago against Livingston. You know, I'm just as happy that players are staying at the club well as being called up for their international teams. Delighted to see Cal McGregor recuperating as well as Cameron Carter-Vickers and Rio Itati. As long as they've got that 2 weeks. For me, the most interesting thing would be if you could get a live feed or something. Someone is a fly on the wall for that bounce game in which Itati, Carter-Vickers and potentially Cal McGregor play in. Because I just want to see those three back on the pitch and playing for Celtic in any form whatsoever. Because if they're fit and they're ready for the second or the business end of the season, the last third of the season, you could say, then I think Celtic will be in a pretty good place. Good to see Greg Taylor and Tony Ralston getting called up, Matt O'Reilly getting called up too for Denmark. I'm just as delighted that those players that are recuperating, are back at Lennox Town working on it.
Yeah, we've got a...
On you go. Sorry.
No, on you go, Tony.
Juncture, Hamish. I'm glad the guys are away with our national teams. I'd rather they didn't play. Because I would and run the risk of getting injured. I don't ever grudge them going away with our national teams. But see, right now, I just think Celtic needs all hands to the pump and all hands on deck. And I'd rather whoever the representatives are away with their respective national teams. I don't want me featured at all. That's just been purely selfish in thinking about it in club level. I just want them to enjoy the experience of being with a national team and then come back and, you know, and Celtic and Brendan Rodgers get everybody back. And because I think we're beginning to feel better about ourselves for this 8-game home stretch, aren't we? And as Ryan said, if you can get the likes of Itati, McGregor, Cameron Carter-Vickers, you know, firing on all cylinders, Kyogo, in your team, you're beginning to smile a wee bit more, aren't you? You're certainly looking forward to this now, when there's not the trepidation that you once felt about it. You think to yourself, have a rip at it, they could actually do this.
It's a good point you make, because like when you mention the key players we have, Carter Vickers, McGregor, Hitati, Kyogo, you know, the spine of that team, Joe Hart, you can add in as well, actually. None of those guys are away on international duty at the moment. We look at the players that are, you know, Greg Taylor and Anthony Ralston are away with Scotland. A couple of friendlies, they've got one in Amsterdam against Netherlands, and they've got Northern Ireland in Glasgow. I don't think Taylor or Ralston will feature too much, maybe because they're friendlies, they'll maybe come on as subs. But, you know, I don't think either of them are really first-team Scotland players, if I'm totally honest. So that's fine. If McGregor was there, you know, you'd be saying he would probably feature quite a lot. So that's fine. Alistair Johnson away with Canada. They've got a qualifying playoff for Copa America against Trinidad and Tobago. Now, yeah, I did just say that. Trinidad and Tobago, Copa America. I don't know what the hell is going on. And I guess Canada, in the old format, the tournament weren't even part because it was just South America, wasn't it? But anyway, that's where we're at. He will probably play for Canada. Adam Eda's got a couple of friendlies against Belgium and Switzerland, both at the Aviva Stadium, so not a lot of travelling for him. Don't even know if he features much for Ireland. Does anyone else know?
It used to be a starter for Ireland, and he was up until fairly recently, but the sudden emergence from Brighton's Evan Ferguson has made he's probably the number one striker, and he will be for the next decade, 15 years. He's a special young talent if he's only, what, 19, 20 years old, and he's scoring goals in the Premier League. So, yeah, Eda still does get a game. He's got, what, 30-plus caps for Ireland, but he's not so much a starter anymore.
I think he'll get game time, though.
Mm-hmm. Will he start one
especially
of those games?
Been in good,
you might.
Potentially, yeah. He's been in good form, so...
Yeah.
You know, better form than what he would have been when he was at Norwich, so...
And he's also playing for a kind of big club and a club that are well followed in Ireland, and Stephen Kenny will be, you know... Is he still there, Stephen Kenny?
No,
Is it John O'Shea?
It's John O'Shea that's the interim manager at the moment just now. I think they've finalised their manager. I think it's Carsley, but they can't announce it until the end of the season.
I think they're going to announce it in April. That right? I'm sure.
Yeah,
Neil Lennon said that recently when we were speaking to him, that they've made an announcement and they're going to, well, they've made a decision and they're going to announce it in April, I think was what he said.
Okay. And it's definitely Carsley, it's not Thomas Gravison or anything, because there's stories about people getting mixed up over those two.
It's definitely Carsley. I think they're just waiting. I think they're going to make it official in the next couple of months.
Okay. Maida, as we say, a couple of World Cup qualifiers against North Korea. First leg in Tokyo. I believe that's tomorrow, this time tomorrow. In fact, strangely, the app I'm using has kickoff down for 23 minutes past, which I don't know if that's right. Seems very strange, but yeah, his first game's tomorrow, so we'll find out about the new Dyson Maida at that stage with the blonde hair. I've not actually seen confirmation, but I assume that home is away with Norway's 21s because he's kind of a bit of a regular fixture for them, and same with Bernardo with Portugal's 21s. And obviously Matt O'Reilly's the other one, guys. They've got friendlies against Switzerland and the Faroe Islands, both in Denmark. I think one in Copenhagen, one in Brøndby. Will O'Reilly feature?
Hopefully not.
I think he will feature against the Faroe Islands. That's the sort of game that I think's been... That's the one that they'll shoehorn him into.
He'll be hoping he does, because he means a lot to him playing for Denmark.
Yeah. Although, what I would caveat that by saying that the Faroe Islands have had decent results in recent years compared to what they're usually used to. And that's... They treat... It's a very interesting sort of dynamic with the Faroe Islands, because they treat it as like a club side. It's all the same players that get called up. They're a very close-knit bond between the players, just due to the pool of players that they've got at their disposal. But they have been getting better results recently because of that. So it won't be a pushover. Scotland struggled a couple of years ago against Faroe Islands, but it's a good game, and it's a better game than what it would have been. Denmark will still be hoping to get quite a few goals off them.
Yeah. Who Who are you most excited about, Tony, like watching after the international break at Celtic? Who's given you the most excitement? It can be a player who's played recently, one who's been injured recently.
I've got to say, I just love what Kyogo's brought to the table the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And see if he can replicate that down this 8-game stretch. Celtic have a great chance of winning this title. We'd said it prior to him hitting a wee kind of purple patch in Rich Vayner for him, didn't we? Yourself and Ryan spoke about how his goals could be vital. You know, if they could get him in the team and get scoring again. And I just thought Saturday, and yeah, Peter allowed for opposition and all that, I get all that, but just Saturday was vintage Kyogo for me.
Yeah.
He was bang at it. He was making those runs. The difference is he had a man who was finding them. You know, couldn't find them the way Jota used to find them. You know, and then from that, other players started to find them too. You know, so you're hoping that they're like some Matt O'Reilly, and then get Calmack and Hatate coming back into the team could be vital. I know Ryan just thinks that's the missing piece in the jigsaw, but Hatate supplying somebody like Kyogo, you know, with Maeda on the other side and Kun on one side as well, you just think to yourself, that could be quite potent and lethal. You know, and Matt O'Reilly, if he, you know, picks up the cudgels and has a decent last few games, you know, just these kind of things, that's why you're beginning to smile a bit more and you think, okay, this is a, you know, it's there to be won, it's in Celtic's hands, that's all you can ever ask for. And getting these players back and other players returning to form, and you've got guys like Adam Eder who can come on and play their bit and do a shift as well, so I'm pretty excited. It's going to be a nerve shredder, yeah, but I'm feeling a lot more confident than I was even just a couple of weeks ago. Let's put it that way, and I'm sure you guys feel the same.
I just think, as I said the other day, when Kyogo's played well, he'll lift everyone to his level. Yeah. It's just like a totally transformational thing when Kyogo is on form. And I think there's, you know, I still think a top Kyogo scores more than a goal at the weekend. So I think there's still, you know, a level or two to go in him. But he definitely, like, it was just so much, you know, more involved in the game and that movement. I mean, he's the best mover I've seen in years at Celtic. And when he's moving like that, no defence can really deal with him. We even saw that in Europe at the start of the season, like Atletico and Lazio couldn't deal with his movement at times. So, yeah, I think he's going to be huge. Ryan, we know you're a huge Rio Hatate fan. Just out of interest, Thomas wondering who was your favourite player before Hatate joined?
I've got a thing for midfielders, to be honest. Probably Armstrong before Rio Hatate, and then before that, my first. I started really supporting Celtic and really.
Hang on, there's a few years difference between Armstrong leaving and Hatate coming in, so fill the gap.
I had no favourites in.
There's about 5 years difference there. What were you doing for those 5 years? I don't answer that.
El Yunusi, probably I'd put in between those two. I really did enjoy watching El Yunusi. I know he blew hot and cold, and I liked Edward too, but like my first sort of season ticket was 2009, 2010, 2011, that sort of time. And my favourite player from that point, before he got injured in the Celtic Rangers game, was Berham Kyle. So I've always liked midfielders for what they bring. They always control the game. And Hatate's just so good at that. Everybody knows on this podcast, they'll know whenever Hatate's mentioned, I want to wax lyrical about him. But I think he's that transformational. He's maybe not as transformational as Kyogo, because Kyogo will get goals and he'll make everybody around him better. But Hatate can do the same. He can score goals from distance. He can break the lines. He's got that agility. He's got the guile. I'm just hoping that he isn't rushed back too soon. If he's playing in a bounce game in the next couple of days, then they watch his fitness. They give him enough time as they can. And then only if he's ready, he comes back in. Because we've seen before, if you rush back Hatate and he's not fully there or fully fit, then he can be like a man down. He's that sort of player. But if he's ready and he's willing to make an impact, then I'd throw him straight back in. You know, Bernardo's performances haven't been great recently. I think there's one position there that's for the taking, and he can take that.
Yeah, he'll be raring to go, I think. I'm happy to just abandon all current chat for the rest of the video and chat about our first Celtic heroes, given that you got onto it there and people are firing away in the chat. I don't know if I want to ask Tony. I don't know what year you'll take us back to, Tony, but Who's the first kind of hero you can remember watching Celtic?
Kilkenny. 76, 77. just that's the reason that I wanted to go and watch Celtic. I love the colour green, love Dalglish, and I've maybe told you this before, but my father took me to see Clyde, Craig Brown's Clyde at Shawfield for my first ever game of football. It was season 76-77, and I sat in the stands at Clyde, and I was playing with my dinky cars, and I was rolling them up and down the stands because there was plenty of room, and he heard a roar from Celtic Park, and I was 4.5, and I said to my dad, do you think Kenny Dalglish has scored for Celtic? And he said, why are we here? He sort of tried to not foist that upon me and didn't want me growing up, you know, as he would say, a bigot or whatever you want to call it, but I'd made up my mind. And so in the second half, we were at Celtic Park watching Ken Kenny, and then after that, it was early 80s Charlie Nick. I got a thing for goal scorer. You know, he was utterly astounding. And I remember staying up late. Sports Night was on, Harry Carpenter presented it on BBC, and Celtic won the Daily Express six-a-side tournament from Wembley Arena. They beat Ipswich and Southampton. They beat a Southampton team with Kevin Keegan in it, and Ipswich team with Franz Tyson and all that, Mick Mills, and Charlie Nick was brilliant, and he scored the winner in the final, and kind of everybody was kind of like, who's this guy, you know, kind of brought him, and he was excellent. So just guys like that, and obviously moving forward, Henrik Larsson, obviously. I was going to say the Jim Melrose and Cascarino years, you know what I mean, they've been forgotten about, that kind of stuff, but up to date, Larsson, stuff like that, you know. I've been very fortunate that my watching Celtic life has straddled, I think, 6 decades, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Wow.
20 or so.
And most of them successful.
Yeah, correct. So there's been lots of kind of heroes, you know, latterly, like Sir Jota, Kyogo, I've loved watching. I even like watching the likes of Hooper, you know, like Neil Lennon's team, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's usually forward type players for me, you know. But even then, back in the 70s, Danny McGrain was fantastic.
Yeah, you know,
just a wonderful footballer. So, listen, there's been all sorts of heroes, but I've been quite fortunate because I'd say my Celtic watching life has straddled 6 decades. But there'll be guys in the comments like Steve McGrory who'll be able to, you know, go back longer and tell you.
Well, you're going to insult Steve, are you?
No, I'm not insulting him. I'm just he'll be able to tell you about other guys, you know, because my dad's hero was Bobby Murdoch, so
brilliant,
you know, so guys like that.
I've just run through a few of them. Who are people saying? They're saying Maestro is saying Davy Provan, King Kenny or Ling Kenny is Henrik McLarson. Ironic, should surely be going for Henrik Larsson. But anyway, Kenny Dalglish says Brown Warrior, Danny McGrain for Charlie McGarvey. Seamus saying Paul McStay. Paul saying Paul McStay. How much would he be worth in today's market? A hell of a lot, I would say. Ian Roy, Big Wanyama was good. Shout out for the legend Bertie Auld from Jerry. Gordon going for Arthur Boric. Bobby Lennox. Henrik and Pete going for Henrik because he is a contemporaneous. I can't even say that word, so I'm just going to.
Contemporaneous.
There we go.
Rolled off the tongue there, Tony, for you.
Put your dictionary away, Pete, but appreciate that. My wee shout out would be, so I got my season ticket in 2005. That was my first year. And the first player that I loved watching was Shunsuke Nakamura. I have to give him a shout out. He'll always be the player who made me not fall in love with Celtic, but I think fall in love with football and watching football. Just an absolute joy to play. And one of my favourite players of all time. He was brilliant.
And I think, you know, I think when you... these players, sorry Ryan, you know it's these players that produce special moments, you know, they either end up cult heroes or iconic, and you know, you've picked out Naka there, because has there been a better free kick taker than Naka at the club in the last,
better passer than Naka, Lubo, better first touch, you know maybe only Lubo.
Lubo was up there in terms of that kind of stuff, you know, so that might be. You know, but these guys produce something special, Larsson as well. On you go, Ryan, sorry. Carry on.
No, I just remember, because I didn't have a season ticket at that point, but I would watch them every... I'd miss most home games, because obviously they weren't shown on the TV, but every away game, I would go to my grandpa's house and watch Nakamura, and more often than not, he would score a free kick, or he would do something magical. that's the sort of magic that gets you involved with Celtic, especially at a young age. Yeah. You're looking for a player to really bring you in. I always remember watching, I think it was the 05-06, when Nakamura scored the winner, the league winner against Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. It's just those moments that you just never, ever forget. I remember going absolutely crazy in my grandpa's house. And it's these moments that just solidify you as a Celtic supporter and somebody who follows the club. And that's one of them for me. Just what a special player. But you can't really look too far past his free kicks against Man United, because one seems to get forgotten in all of this. I know Celtic didn't win that game, but you know, it was still a great free kick at Old Trafford. But the other one, the one that he scored later on in the campaign, is the one that gets remembered even more so. Between that and his goal against Rangers, we talk about moments in a season. He was a moments player. He was a very good player with his passing and his movement as well. But it was the moments, you know, coming in when it mattered. I'm going to use an American term, but he came in clutch so many times for Celtic over the years. Just a brilliant football player. And he really started that link between Celtic and Japan that's now even more present due to players like Hitati and Kyogo. So, yeah, only positives with Nakamura for me.
I've often said about Nakamura's free kicks against Man U, once you could turn lucky, twice was showboating.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And always someone mentioned Davy Provan. And whenever I think of Davy Provan, I think of Archie McPherson, because I can still remember the commentary. Only twice before in the history of the Scottish Cup final have goals been scored direct from a free kick. Is this a little bit of history? Provan curls it in the top corner. Archie, it is Bedlam. And that was the first Scottish Cup final I was at as a fan. And I went home that night and I watched it. And I just listened to those words, and it made me fall in love with football as well. And, you know, these things are ingrained in your head, you know. They never leave you, as I said before. Yeah. It's like roller decks in your mind. I've often said that for me, growing up, in my head, I just push a button in my head and it's a Polaroid camera picture. You know, you used to shake it. And it's just, I've got lots of these in my head and I can just go to them at any time. And lots of Celtic supporters are like that, because they never forget. And it's always those big moments that you talk about, you know? And you talk about McGrain and stuff, and I don't like to bring it up per se because of the person that scored it, but the goal at Love Street where McGrain's involved, McStay's involved, McClare's involved, and your man scores it, you know, it's a brilliant football goal, right? And the lime green strip and all that, Celtic winning the title in the last day dramatically at Love Street. It's a brilliant football goal, but lost in the midst of time because of the person that scored it. You know, but you try to tell me that's one in there that every time I watch it, I do smile, but, you know, because it's Stanley McGrain's magic, you know what I mean? It's tremendous, you know, so that kind of stuff.
Yeah. A few other shouts, we had Paul Lambert in, Lubo got a bit of a shout, someone ruined it, it's all over everyone. Oh, George Cadet got a shout, sorry, but it is all over. Willow Flood has got a shout out, someone had to go and
bring it down,
take it seriously. Yeah, but anyway, it's been international break chat, let's just say, but it's sometimes quite nice to do that. There's always stuff to chat about on Celtic, even if it's stuff from yesteryear, but we have some heroes in our team at the moment and they can, you know, solidify their status between now and the end of the season if they keep doing it. There's a number of them there that, you know, after a really kind of hard season, if they find a way to bring success to the club with a league title and possibly a Scottish Cup, I think their rating will only go up further. I think that's us, guys, unless you have anything you want to get off your chest.
No, I've enjoyed that. I love that. Mm-hmm.
We just stay on all day. I just won't go to bed tonight.
You could, because people would come in and tell you about various things. It's the beauty of watching Celtic, because everybody has a different hero, don't they? They have a different moment that they can relate to, and even just talking about it, you just get goosebumps thinking about, oh God, I remember that, or I'd forgotten about that, that kind of stuff, you know? I love that chat.
Yeah. Ryan?
no, really, really enjoyed that. Talking about like your earliest memories of watching Celtic, and yes, it is international break chat, but we've still managed to go 34, 35 minutes. We didn't really even have that much to talk about. That just goes to show you how massive Celtic is and how many talking points there are to do with the club. We truly are lucky to have a club that you can talk about for 30 minutes, maybe only have one or two news stories or anything new coming from the club. That's just how much you can talk about the side and the club and everything around it without, you know, you can go on for over half an hour even with that. And there's my dog just barking, so I'll just cut it off there.
Yeah, that's fine. Thomas saying sorry, he started all this, but no, don't apologise, Thomas and Jerry, right, to bring up Jinky Johnson as well. Right, we're going to head off. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And yeah, we'll chat to you this time tomorrow.
Cheers, guys.